Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Smart man. Good morning.
Am I right?
You are right. Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Just checking.
No, you're right. You're right. I want to have a lot of fun with it too, and I got some unique stuff I want to do. Let's start off with a video first. We're in the faith section of Think and Grow Rich this time. I want to skip a few things. Well, not skipping, but we're going to talk. I want my favorite philosopher to come back up one more time, and I want him to talk. I want him to answer a question. I love when he answers questions.
Dr. Peterson, I'm fascinated by the idea of faith, what faith means. Jacob listens to a voice and believes it. He probably heard other voices. Why did he believe this one? There must have been an a priori sort of functional necessity for him to believe the voice that told him one thing or another. And I think that that's a string that runs through the Bible and then through the New Testament. We are expected as, well, I confess I'm a Christian. I act like I believe God is real. And so there is this a call of faith, and also in every hero story we see now, there is always a moment in that story where the hero must believe something beyond the evidence that is before them, which is to say they must take a leap of faith. Yeah. So I'm wondering if you could just kind of unpack that experience of faith and the understanding of how a human being makes the choice to believe one thing or another.
God, that's a great question. I mean, is this still on? Is this still working? Okay, good. I don't precisely know the answer to that. It's a very peculiar thing because we think many things, or you could say many voices appear in our minds. Because when Nietzsche took Descartes' I think, therefore I am apart, and he said, well, it isn't so obvious that there's an I, first of all, that it's a unity, like a unity transparent unto itself, which of course the psychoanalysts picked up in a big way. And then he wasn't sure that it was the I who thought in some causal manner. He said, well, no, it's more like thoughts, it's something like thoughts appear in the phenomenal field, and maybe you choose between them, or maybe they possess you. Like, there's lots of other ways of thinking about it. It isn't exactly obvious to me why we choose to take one pathway rather than another, when so many of them offer themselves to us, you know. People tend to talk about that as something like conscience, right? And now, maybe it's that... It's got to have something to do, I think. It's an endless regress, because you can always ask why any assumption became primary. But I'll put that aside for a moment. It seems to me to have something to do with your aims. You know, that you're more likely to listen to a voice that is in keeping with your most fundamental aims. And then the question is, where do your most fundamental aims come from? And from what I've been able to determine, and I'll speak psychologically again, is that to begin with, you're a concatenation of rather primitive subpersonalities. Hungry ones, tired ones, upset ones, laughing ones. You can see that in babies, you know, they cycle through those states very rapidly. There's a infantile unity above all that, but it doesn't have control, right? And so then the developing individual has to figure out how to integrate those primitive subpersonalities into a unified personality. At the same time, they integrate the unified personality into a social unity. So it's partly individual integration, but it's fed by social forces. I mean, even when you watch an infant breastfeed, it's established a relationship with its mother, and there's a reciprocity that's already at play there. So then, that underlying multiplicity starts to form itself into a unity. And then the question, and I would say that's something like the emergence of the individual out of the Titans. That's a reasonable way of thinking about it. Like a sovereign out of the Titans, it's something like that. But then there's another division which seems to me to parallel the Cain and Abel division. It's that integration can be oriented towards something that's positive, but it can also be oriented towards something that's negative. And that's the split of the world into good and evil, I think. And then it looks like you're navigating between those. And I can only account for that with something like choice. Like, I think the free choice, even though I don't understand it, I'm unwilling to deny the existence of free choice merely because I don't understand it. Because it looks to me like that's how people act, that's how they expect to be treated, and that societies that structure themselves in accordance with the idea that people have free choice actually work. Now, that doesn't prove that there's free choice, but people have been arguing about that forever. But it looks to me, so those are two possible means of integration, and then I think what you're doing is feeding one or the other constantly. And I think you probably choose which one to feed, I think. That's how it feels that way to me as well. Like when I look at my own, you know, maybe you're really aggravated with something. Maybe you're aggravated with your wife, you know, or your child or something like that, you know. And you're feeling kind of nasty and maybe even know that you're in the wrong. And an idea comes into your head. You think, I could say that. And you know you could say it, and you know what it would do, but then you pause and you think, would that make it better or worse? And then maybe you go to hell with it, which is quite the thing to say. I've got a little story about that in a minute. And then you say it, but you knew that you took the low road, right? And you know it. And then you're guilty about that and defensive, and that makes the fight way worse, because then there's no damn way you're going to admit that you actually did that. And so things do go to hell. And so here's an ugly little idea. So that's relevant to the question. So imagine you're playing around with cocaine. Now, I'm using cocaine because it's very addictive, but it's a very interesting chemical because it's a dopaminergic agonist. And what dopamine does is two things. It makes you feel like what you're doing is worthwhile, but it also... Imagine that there's a bunch of neural circuits that are active and then they get a hit of dopamine, or you do. Then those neural circuits get a little bit more powerful. Okay, so it has a rewarding property, which is that it makes you feel like what you're doing is important. And it has a reinforcing property, which is it makes neural circuits grow. So now what that means is that whatever you were doing just before you took cocaine grows. Okay, so now imagine there's a bunch of different things that you do just before you take cocaine, but there's a string of decisions, and at one decision point is the same for all of those different occurrences, and that decision point is, because you know you're in trouble, and that decision point is, well, to hell with it. Okay, so then you think that each of the 200 times that you take cocaine, even though you do it in different places, but that one thought is there all the time, and that thing grows because you're reinforcing it, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And so now that's in you, that's part of you, and it's the thing that says to hell with it. Okay, so now, and maybe that's not such a good thing to grow inside your brain, so then you're addicted, and they take you to a cocaine treatment center, and after a week, you're no longer physiologically addicted. You're not craving. You don't have a problem, as long as you're there. But then they take you back to your normal environment, and you see, like, Cocaine Joe, your friend, and as soon as you see him, up that thing comes, and bang, you're back on the to hell with it track. And that's where you will end up, too, if you reinforce that particular perspective long enough. So that's akin, in a sense, to this decision-making process, you know? If you take the low road, then that wins, and it gets a little stronger. Because everything that wins, neurologically, gets a little stronger. It's like a Darwinian competition. So one rule is, don't practice what you don't want to become. because you really do become that. It builds itself right into your neural architecture. And that's one of the terrifying things about addiction, you know, because you think, well, it's kind of psychological. It's like, yeah, kind of. It's also kind of neurophysiologically gets a little stronger. It's like a Darwinian competition. So the track. And that's where you will end up too, if you reinforce that particular perspective long enough. So that's akin, in a sense, to this decision-making process, you know. If you take the low road, then that wins, and it gets a little stronger. Because everything that wins, neurologically, gets a little stronger. It's like a Darwinian competition. So one rule is, don't practice what you don't want to become. Because you really do become that. It builds itself right into your neural architecture. And that's one of the terrifying things about addiction, you know, because you think, well, it's kind of psychological. It's like, yeah, kind of. It's also kind of neurophysiological, and you build a one-eyed cocaine monster in your head if you hit yourself enough with something that reinforcing. See, like, Cocaine Joe, your friend, and as soon as you see him, up that thing comes, and bang, you're back on the to hell with it track. And that's where you will end up too, if you reinforce that particular perspective long enough. So that's akin, in a sense, to this decision-making process, you know. If you take the low road, then that wins, and it gets a little stronger. Because everything that wins, neurologically, gets a little stronger. It's like a Darwin.
All right, that's my thesis for tonight. Everything that wins neurologically gets stronger. I want to talk about faith, what Napoleon Hill talks about while talking about faith. And I want to use a little bit of the book and a lot of your feedback. Imagine with me right now your life. Put your life on a straight line. Some great poets and songsters and motivational speakers have imagined your birth date and your death date. And it's the dash in between that matters in your life. So I want you to look at this dash. And what I want you to do while you are only paying attention to me and not multitasking, I want you to imagine that dash being extremely long, however long you want it. And I want you to put this moment as a little dot on the dash that is your life. Now draw it out to the future, because I don't think you plan on dying today. I want you to take a line or dash from the very first steps you've ever made, from your first breath all the way into your very last breath, and put in this moment a dot that fills in that dash. Ask yourself, how big is this dot that helps the coloration of your dash? How big is it? Monica, how big would you say this dot is? On the dash of your life you've just created, something like 100 miles long, how big is this moment in that dash? What would you say? Just like geographically, like on a piece of paper or something, how big is it? Unmute your mic.
Like this big?
Okay, she said like this big. She has little wee fingers up. No problem.
My paper's little, so.
Whatever, there you go. So you made it a pretty big deal, right? But either way, in proportion to the paper, that was a pretty significant. In proportion of 100 miles, how big would the dot be?
Pretty big.
Right, but this dot would be kind of small.
Right.
Exactly.
On my paper.
And so is every dot in your life. Everyone. As important as this conversation is going to be, and it will be, and as over the years, I'd like to think we've had a lot of important conversations together. over the years, I would like to hope that I have had some sort of assistance in transforming your life. And each one of those conversations with just little bitty dots on the great thing that is your life. And the reason why is because faith is important. Hear my next few sentences very well. If each moment was the greatest moment of your life and overwhelmed the dash that is your life, then moments wouldn't be moments anymore. Moments would be these huge factors of calibrated strategicness. But that's not the case. The truth is, even your beautiful time with your children on this earth have been a dot on that line. The significant time that you have spent with your significant other is a dot on that line. That dot may follow you for 69 years, like Phil and Susan, but they're not 69, something like 40 years of marriage, may follow you, but it's still a dot that had to get dotted for 40 years. Truthfully, it's not a line. It's not a continuous line. Every day, Phil had to wake up with Susan. Phil had to practice Susan. It's the beautiful part of what we are in this world. Our moments are just moments. They are all connected, but they have no power in our life until we practice them. Can we talk just for a little bit? God has put this life together to where it's all connected, but at every moment you can significantly change what you're doing with your life. Significantly, overnight, you can change the trajectory, forget overnight, over the next breath, you can change the trajectory of your life right now, because it's just little dots on the illusion of the straight line that you have. But the dots that have become lines and significant in your life, you have practiced. Let's back up one more time, because you noticed that I intentionally rewinded this a few times because I wanted you to hear it.
Longer physiologically addicted. You're not craving. You don't have a problem as long as you're there. But then they take you back to your normal environment and you see, like, Cocaine Joe, your friend, and as soon as you see him, up that thing comes and bang, you're back on the to hell with it track. And that's where you will end up too, if you reinforce that particular perspective long enough. So that's it.
If you reinforce a particular perspective long enough, if you reinforce a moment long enough, this happens.
Akin, in a sense, to this decision-making process, you know? If you take the low road, then that wins and it gets a little stronger. Because everything that wins neurologically gets a little stronger. It's like a Darwinian competition. So one rule is, don't practice what you don't want to become, because you really do become that. It builds itself right into your neural architecture.
Okay. A couple of weeks ago in a corresponding class that we have here, not sure which one, I was trying to explain to you all about the neural network and how I wanted to get my doctorate in cognitive developmental neuroscience. And studying for that and just being fascinated with psychology and neurology, I was learning that one neuron is just a neuron. But when you reinforce that neuron, it gets stronger. And as you continue to reinforce that neuron, the ability it takes for your brain to shoot the appropriate signal to whatever part of your body or what you're trying to do, gets stronger and the brain gets faster in sending the electrical current from your brain to your limb to swing the tennis racket. Have you ever swung a tennis racket for the first time and you wasn't good? It was weird. It was heavy in your hand. The golf clubs were hard to hold. When you were a child, the spoon was hard to hold. When you first start writing, you wrote like this because it was hard to hold. But the more you did it, you don't even notice picking up a pen anymore and writing because your neural network, the practice that you have done, has become so strong, watch it, you have become the pen. It's why you don't feel the pen. Not just that. Tempest is driving. I'm sure someone else is driving right now as we talk. She's not going to remember most of the path she has driven on. Because she's been driving for so long, she has become driving. How many of you have driven all the way home and was like, man, I don't even remember getting here? Yeah, I do it all the time, probably way too much. Because you have become driving. It is so second nature for you that you don't even know you do it anymore. Your feet have become one with your brake pedal to the point where when you get in my car, if my brakes are stronger than yours or newer than yours, you say, wow, your brakes really work. Or if they're weaker than yours, you say, man, your brakes really need some work, because you are comparing the brake sensitivity of my car to the oneness that you have with your brake pedal. Anything that wins neurologically, you become. It gets stronger. See, it's not that I was just born a teacher. True, I was. It is also that every day I reinforce what I was born as. So I like weird people like Jordan Peterson. It takes 9 minutes to answer a question. Antonio takes 9 minutes to answer a question. I like things and people like that because it's been reinforced. Some of you barely understood what he said. That's not an observation of your ignorance. You just don't let philosophical conversations win in your life. So you have not become them. But you have become sales. You have become humor, like the humor consultants. You understand? Are you really gay if you don't practice gayness? It's a fair question. I'm not telling you that lesbianism is not lesbianism if you don't practice it. Like, I don't even intend, Monica, for you to answer the question. But what I do want to do is mess up your head and ask the question, can you be something you're not practicing? And that's fair. It's fair. I get that you would emotionally, not you, but second person plural, tell me, nope, I'm chemically, I born. Yes, you do. Okay. She said, I practice. I'm born gay, right? I'm born gay. I get it. I completely get it. But if you don't practice it, can you be? The answering of the question is irrelevant for this platform. But please know, as I transition, Monica has faith in lesbianism because she practices it. Phil has faith in humor because he practices it. Tempest has faith in cybersecurity because she practices it. Because every waking day now, she is consuming information about securing invisible things. Faith must be practiced. It is not something God just gives you. that whole intro was to say that one sentence. You must practice faith. And the more you practice it, the more it wins neurologically and becomes stronger. And that is worth the price of admission. If you are out here maintaining faith, then you have strong faith. But if you just believe in faith, but are not practicing it, you have a hard time actually trusting God in the process. Those who cannot enjoy the process do not practice enjoying faith. If you break down every time something doesn't go your way, you don't practice faith, you practice control. Right? You practice control, which is why when you lose control, you have fits. Your mood alters. It's not that you don't remember people's name when you hear them. It is you don't practice remembering people's names when you hear them. That's what it is. Faith must be practiced. And anything that is practiced, it grows stronger. Let's go back to lesbianism. Can I break Monica from being lesbian? The answer is irrelevant. It is not relevant. I'm not asking questions that have answers. I'm asking questions that force you to think, how lesbian are you? See, we practice things because, or we do things because they have become our identity. But until you practice them, they don't become your being. So there are people who are actively trying to break your gayness, right? Gay is not the only letter in the LGBTQIA community. However, Monica's not those letters. She's gay. So we're going to roll with this one. Think about this for a second. Can I break her gayness? Now she's going to say no. Hell no. Got me messed up because she's practiced not being broken. Am I lying, Monica? Have you?
Yeah, you can't.
Okay, right? So basically I'm barking up the wrong tree. However, let's postulate for a moment that she wasn't as strong. Her aura was not strong. What would happen if she loved me or admired me so much that she would give me the opportunity to force her to practice a new thing? Now, the smart critic is going to say, well, yeah, but she wouldn't be in herself. She would eventually go back to being gay. And I have no argument for this because I'm not trying to answer the question. I'm just trying to say, how much can I break what should be strong in you if I give you another practice? And the neurological answer at all times is I can break it a lot. I'm not trying to break your gayness, but pay attention. If I force you, or if you force you, because I can't force you to do anything, not to practice something, your neural network will break down. And whatever you are practicing to, it's whatever you are practicing to break down that neural network, that thing now becomes strong. And now what you have, Monica, and this is the truth, you have those women who love you but don't want to be seen publicly with you because they've practiced both.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. they have practiced both. they've practiced not being seen and being seen. And by scientific, biological, chemical default, that creates cognitive dissonance. So these women would mistreat Monica because they're frustrated in themselves, because you cannot have the same neuron have two different ideas. And that frustration has to go somewhere, and it goes out on the person causing the frustration according to their perception. So Monica must get mistreated. There's the first thing I want to read, Phil, is literally the first three paragraphs of chapter two or chapter three, depending on, it's the first three paragraphs of the faith chapter. I really want to read them. I've even, if you all don't have a book, here's a fantastic website that has all chapters. Phil, did you want to read it?
No, I just wanted to mention to you that I literally have those first three chapters highlighted.
Wow.
Every one of them, every word of the first three chapters I have highlighted. But also I want to add to it, what you're talking about is the power of now.
Yeah.
Is what Eckhart Tolle talks about. You know, the past resides in your memory. The future resides in your imagination. All we have is the present. That dot is just a series of presents. Life is one present after another. And we all practice faith every day if we drive a car. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We have faith that the people coming for us will stay in their own lane. So we're practicing faith every day.
Wow. That is good. I did not see that last one coming. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We have practiced faith in sitting in these chairs. When we first got one, we thought we was going to fall. Now we don't even think about that no more. Let me read these first three paragraphs. Faith is the head chemist of the mind. When faith is blended with the vibration of thought and the subconscious mind instantly picks up the vibration, translates it into a spiritual equivalent, and transmits it into infinite intelligence, as in the case of prayer. Let me help you read with me. The emotions of faith, love, and sex are the most powerful of all major positive emotions. When the three are blended, faith, love, and sex, they have the effect of coloring the vibration of thought in such a way that it instantly reaches the subconscious mind, where it is changed into its spiritual equivalent, the only form that induces a response from infinite intelligence. Love and faith are psychic, related to the spiritual side of man. Sex is purely biological and related only to physical. The mixing or blending of these three emotions has the effect of opening a direct line of communication between finite thinking mind of man and infinite intelligence. Let me tell you a story. I wish she was here. Grace has been religiously single her whole life. And I was explaining to Grace, she was like, well, why can't I do this? Why can't I do this? And I was like, Grace, well, you need some sex. Literally, I said this. I really did. I really said this, okay? And she said, no, I don't. And I was like, well, I'm not talking about real sex, but your triangle is messed up. You're trying to draw things with your mind, but you're missing the most powerful force on the planet, which is, and this comes later in Think Grow Rich, like chapter 9 or something, sex power, sex transmutation. Until you have sex energy locked into what you're trying to do, you can't even win. But
I'm sorry, I don't want to, can I just get a recording of this?
I got you. We'll make sure you get it right after this.
This got is you. Dead day, and I'm going to have to leave you, but that's all I want to say is
I got you.
I got a house full of people. I'm neurologically messed up. And now Antonio, you're talking like Jesus. So I need a copy, please, Lord.
I got you. We'll make sure you get it. Go ahead, Phil.
I need that.
Well, is that Is that why when you're doing sex, you think or say, oh, God?
That might be true. That might be true. Oh, definitely. We got you, Adrian. Deanna, make sure Adrian gets this recorded right after. Okay, she's gracious to hear. I was trying to explain to her, no, it's not that you need the act of doing sex, but you have no friends. There's no intimacy involved in your life. You love Jesus, and that is not strong enough to call forth what you desire. I really said all this, and I would say it again if I see one of you doing the same thing. It is not enough just to love the Lord, because that's psychic. You must add your body, which is perfect, into the equation of manifesting things. So I said, Grace, what you need to do is you need to take this sex energy, and even think of Rich, he'll tell you, he's not talking about sex. He's not just talking about sex. It's just power, but we'll get there when we get there. Take this energy, and it's time for you to be a good friend, Grace. So now she brings things into her life, because where there is sex energy, that's friend energy for her. So she talks to Monica every day. So she wasn't a good friend before. Now she is. She was angry because she was all mind, but there were no feelings. And if you don't, this is a feeling universe. It is not a psychic universe. And if all you know is just psychic thoughts, if all you have is faith and love, it's not enough. I'm sorry. You have to mix together this sex energy with it. In this case, we could be talking about relationships, or it's the reason why the secretary has this effect over the 45, the 22-year-old secretary has this effect over the 45-year-old CEO, because he's activated sex drive, and now his energy is more powerful. His inventions are better. Mind is clearer. Whatever you practice gets stronger. If you practice infidelity, it gets stronger. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, you could substitute the concept of sex with intimacy.
Absolutely. 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 Let me give you this first key point that I really want to give you. It's from the book, per se. You would never even have a thought of your main desire unless faith was tugging at your mind. Faith is vital to accomplishing it. Tip is, you need faith. And some of you are in relationships with no faith in your significant other, and you wonder why the relationship is toxic. Wherever there is no faith, there is toxicity. Oh my, I should have. Some of you have no faith in your children. That's why that relationship is toxic. You know what's best for them. You don't have faith that is best for them. Your children will find their own way, and it will be their own way. Or they will reject your way, only to find their own way, which is through the rejection of your way. There's no reason to grow up in this manner. Now, in a little bit, I'm going to teach you how to have self-confidence. Well, I'm not going to teach you. Thinker or Rich is going to teach you. I just merged it into this chapter. Because you need self-confidence to have faith. Let me give you a second key point. Have faith that you can accomplish that which you seek, for you would never decide upon it unless it was meant for you to accomplish. Earl Nightingale says this best. If you thought it, Monica, you have no choice but to have it, because you thought it. By universal law, it is already yours, because none of you can ever think about something that God intends to hold back from you. How is that possible, Jaquita? How is it possible for you to think about something that has no vibrational equivalent? If you think it, its vibrational equivalent is out there, and you are currently vibrating at the psychic vibration of what you desire. Now you have to vibrate at all three. You have to vibrate at two of the psychics plus the one body vibration. You must fall in sex love, intimate love, with the idea, I'm already a millionaire. And it must make your shoulders come back. It must change your dress code. You must go from flip-flops to 6-inch heels. You must go to the gym. There are some things about you that must shift. And you can't shift if you don't have all three of these places. It's not possible. This must occur. Go ahead, Phil.
Can they choose comfortable flats as opposed to 6-inch heels?
Yes, fair enough. Long as those comfortable flats are in good alignment with your millionaire-ness, since that was the example, you're fine. You're just fine. Feel yourself having faith. Let's talk. I was listening to a sermon one day, long time ago. Man, it's like 2009. It's 2008. No, I'm still lying. It was 2006, 2007, 2007. And I went and bought the DVD from the back of the church. I know what I'm talking about. You get $20, you can get the DVD. You know, it's terrible quality, sound quality terrible. And, you know, the 67-year-old deacon was shooting it back there. But, you know, he do his best. The church do his best. You know, it's good. It's good to go. And it was a sermon title. It was called Stay in the Boat. David L. Everson. David Lee Everson was 1028 Avenue K, First Union Baptist Church in Galveston, Texas. He preached a sermon, Stay in the Boat. This is what he said. It was about Peter. And I had never heard this before, but it touched me, Tempest. It touched me. He said, the punchline was, Peter's mouth let him walk on water. Peter had faith in his mouth. Let me come out there, Lord. It's basically what Peter said. Everybody follow me? So even if you're not Christian, you've seen this on some cartoon as you were growing up, man. Let me come. Well, this is what changed my life. This is what he says, Monica. He says, well, the same thing that got Peter walking on water is the same thing that got Peter in trouble, which is also the same thing that saved Peter. Because he says, Peter almost drowned because he lost faith. Everybody says that. But when he said, Lord, help, his faith that the Lord could help him, his mouth got him back in the boat. So the same mouth that got him off the boat is the same mouth that got him back in the boat. And I remember in 2007, saying to myself, man, I be tripping out here in these streets. I know y'all don't be tripping, but I remember saying, man, my mouth is getting me in trouble. I keep causing my own problems. And I remember buying this DVD and I was working at Office Depot and I didn't care. I just had this DVD planned because I was working I was the manager of the tech department. So it was just in one of the computer display computers. And I just had it planned. I just had it planned because I wanted to get this message in me. I wanted to understand that my mouth and my perception and Antonio is causing Antonio's problems. See, I had full faith that you had me messed up, but did not have full faith that I can get out of what that caused me. Boy. I knew you had me messed up. I didn't even need to believe that, Monica. Oh, no. You just had me messed up by the Lord God. As God is on earth, as God is in heaven, you got me messed up. You're about to catch these hands. I need no faith for that. Need no faith. But when it was time to apologize, who know what I'm talking about? I need the courage to apologize. Oh, don't fool me now. Don't fool me. Some of y'all ain't apologized yet. You still out here saying, well, you shouldn't have did that to me. You're literally out here still being a victim abuser, not apologizing. So that message hit me hard because I recognized that faith was a lot bigger than what I was making it. It was. I recognized faith was a lot bigger than what I was making it. Tiana, if I got myself into something, it's going to take faith to get me out of it. And I have to practice this faith. And sometimes, Monica, practicing this faith means that I have to be a friend. Even when I don't want to be. I got to be positive. Sometimes I have to make sure that you said something crazy to me and I have to take it because that's part of faith. Sometimes I do because I'm not allowed to practice your vibration. I must practice mine. Let me show you again. This is vitally important. I'm going to keep playing it until I feel you are receiving it.
You don't have a problem as long as you're there. But then they take you back to your normal environment and you see, like, Cocaine Joe, your friend, and as soon as you see him, up that thing comes and bang, you're back on the to hell with it track. And that's where you will end up too, if you reinforce that particular perspective long enough. So that's akin, in a sense, to this decision-making process. You know, if you take the low road, then that wins and it gets a little stronger. Because everything that wins neurologically gets a little stronger. It's like a Darwinian competition. So one rule is don't practice what you don't want to become, because you really do become that. It builds itself right into your neural architecture.
I truly can't say it better than what he is saying here. I just don't practice what you don't want to become. Well, I don't like her, so stop practicing her.
I'm going to close my laptop. Goodbye.
Practice what you want to become and you will be that.
There it is.
The good news about cocaine, whenever I did cocaine, it made my sinuses shut. And I said, wait a minute, breathing is one of my five favorite things. This stuff doesn't let me breathe. Well, then it can't be good for me. So that's how I got away from that.
Breathing is fundamental. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about it. I practiced Reese's peanut butter cups. I was a master. So I got stronger eating Reese's peanut butter cups to the point where I couldn't stop eating them. If you don't like somebody, why do you keep practicing the feeling that you get when you don't like them? You walk around with these silent conversations. How many times have you cussed somebody out this week in your head? Don't fool me now. Come on.
Every day.
What'd you say, Monica?
I used to do that. Okay, good. After becoming more aware, I don't do that anymore. I did used to do that.
Good. Monica said somebody, Deanna said every day this week.
Every day. I'm trying to be more like Monica, because every day I done cut somebody out of my head.
Every day. Tip is trying to unmute. It ain't doing it fast. Tip said, don't worry about it. I'm driving. I ain't going to die, but I want to say something. She'll figure out how to unmute and drive here in a little bit. Your job is to stop practicing the person frustrating you. Why are you doing that? If they're frustrating you, why do you keep saying, you know what? Next time I see them, and you got this whole thing that's going to happen in your head, and you coming up with war strategies, right? And you're like, yeah, you know what? And as soon as Antonio, this I'm going to say, and he's going to say this, and I'm going to get his ass. I'm going to get him right there, because I'm going to say this after he says this. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You're practicing me at that point. And if I was hurting you and you're practicing me, You're going to keep getting more of me. But if you want me to fade away, if you want the universe to leave, if you want the universe to just push me out the way to where you no longer have to worry about me, practice what you want to become. Because clearly you don't want to become cussing me out. That ain't strong enough. You want to become happy or whatever it is that you want to become. And happy and Antonio can't exist in the same space if I'm the thing causing you to be unhappy. Go ahead, Deanna.
Mr. Smith, I just want to thank you. You have...
I came to teach today.
Blessed my whole soul.
Videos and everything, Rick.
You have blessed my whole soul. For real. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I have been cussing people out all week in my head. Maybe like for the past 3 weeks or so. About a month or so. I've been cussing people out of my head. And you hear all the time, you hear all the time, whatever you put energy towards, you get more of. How you just broke this down tonight just made me realize I practice cussing people out of my head all the dang time. It's a consistent practice. So every time I see them in person, I just want to, you know, I just want to just. But because I'm always cussing people out of my head, I'm attracting reasons to cuss them out. But if I just, like you just said, practice peace, happiness, joy, and kindness when it comes to this person, these people, they will easily just move out my way. So I didn't think about that. All I thought about was how much they had me all the way messed up. And I kept getting more of, you got me all the way messed up. So I just want to thank you. You have blessed my soul on this amazing evening. Thank you very much. No longer will people have me all the way messed up. They will be the kindest, gentlest, most sweetest people in the earth.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let me see how I want to say on Earth.
Yeah. No, thank you. You're welcome. I can't teach.
And I know y'all hear the sarcasm in my voice, but I'm being serious right now. I'm being so serious.
Well, the funny thing is you're not even bothered. Like the people that you're cussing out in your head, like
they don't know.
Like, you're the only one that's like, you know, that's the best part about this whole thing. Exactly. You do that. We're only hurting ourselves. We're not hurting them.
They walking around eating cheesecake and drinking vanilla Coca-Cola. And I'm sitting here over here cussing them out because they eating cheesecake and drinking vanilla Coca-Cola. And they like, hey, girl. And I'm like, don't talk to me. You know, these things just don't go together. And I'm tired. I'm tired.
Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am. Come on, run with it.
That's okay.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, so if I can just read this right quick to y'all, if y'all don't mind.
Go ahead.
Okay, it says, to let it be known that abuse, this is why you're supposed to get out of abuse. To let it be known that abuse just wants abuse. Just like happy just wants to be happy.
That's right.
And whoever is around happy, happy wants them happy too. So happy does things that make for happiness. And if anyone gets in its way of being happy, it finds a way out from whatever is making it sad, mad, hurt, lonely, but not before doing its best to change the root of the negativity, and that lies most of the problem. Abuse is no different than that of happy. Its rules are the same, but they just want to cause the opposite of happiness. Okay. And doing so, the power of happy gets to come back so that it won't stay until it fears for its life,
because fear is something unknown to happiness and or unwanted or unwarranted. And to make known the signs of abuse so as to keep the happy alive, you see sometimes because happy is happy. Happy believes that everyone else either is or wants to be happy. So it does its best to pass itself off onto whomever it feels needs to be as happy as itself. Happy. And because happy is not fearful, it tends to go through the weight of abuse, being bogged down, hurt, and put down, believing that abuse can't do or don't mean to do happy any harm or any wrong. Stop it. Sorry. Who doesn't want to be happy? Because happy is designed to prolong life. On the other hand, abuse is designed to end life. They both have stages along the way to their destination. One, to give joy of life or while living. The other, to take joy of life, to hell with it. And it gives death to it or takes the joy until death. Happiness, easygoing, kind-hearted, friendly, carefree, caring, positive, encouraging, optimistic. Happy needs to learn to let go of what seeks to kill it and to know the signs, what shows up, no matter how happy is, from the top of happy to the bottom of happy, of a happy killer. And that's truly how I feel. That's part of an insert about what I wrote for my book on one of the book marketing networks. But
that's good. I didn't know that was your words.
Want to be happy.
Well, let me reinforce that. Frida, come back on here and show them your shirt and unmute your mic so they can see, so your screen can dominate. She just happens to be wearing. Go ahead.
Happy. I'm happy all the time.
Yes.
She's sure. Every time I talk to her, she's got that happy energy.
I do. I'm always happy and always grateful.
Happy, joy, joy.
I used to watch Ren and Stimpy. They sang it all the time. Definitely. Let me break this down for y'all. Let's write this thing. Actually, you know what? I want to break it down. Let me bring back up my favorite philosopher. Let me bring back up my favorite. I like Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson be punching me in the face.
Most common reasons that people come and seek psychotherapy really is because they're too agreeable. But what that means is they're not assertive enough. They haven't integrated their capacity for aggression, and so other people can push them around. And they're very conflict avoidant. And so the consequences of that across time is that you don't stand up for yourself well enough, and you get taken advantage of, and that spirals badly downward. And so partly what you do when you're doing assertiveness training with people is you find out what they're angry about. And they're usually angry if they're not assertive enough because other people are taking advantage of them, or you could say because they're not putting their own necessities forward with enough force. It's hard to distinguish between those two things. But anyways, you get them to talk about what they're angry about. That often makes them cry, often many times. And then you get them to kind of envision what they would want to have instead, which they're often afraid to do because people are afraid to think about what they want, because that makes it more clear when they're not getting it, and that's painful, right? Or maybe they're afraid of hoping, so they won't specify a clear aim. But anyways, you get them to think about what they might want instead, you get them to think about the costs of not pursuing that, and then you help them develop strategies for integrating their aggression and with their thinking so that they can come up with a plan to approach the world in a more confident way. So for example, someone might come to me and say, I'm being bullied badly at work. And so then I'll say, well, what are your options? You have to put up with it? Well, we'll figure that out, because maybe you do. Maybe you don't have options. But here's how to find out. Get your damn CV together so it's pristine, right? It's ready to go. Get over your fear of a new interview, because people are generally afraid of that. Get over your fear of applying for a new job. Start thinking about what it would mean to have a different job. Start thinking about what it would mean to have a better job even, because maybe your fear is just making you stuck here. But I can tell you one thing, if someone's picking on you at work and you don't have options, you lose. So you get the person to start building a strategy. It's like, okay, if you're going to tell this person to stop, you have to know how to make them stop. And the one thing you need for sure is an option. And if you don't have an option, then maybe we start thinking about the fact that you need some more training or something like that. Because you cannot negotiate if you don't have any power. So, because while, especially if you're dealing with someone who's really out to get you or really disagreeable, if you don't have a leg to stand on, they'll just push you over. And maybe they'll jump on you too, because that's what they're like and they enjoy it anyway. So it's no joke. So you put your options behind you and then you start to think about strategy. So I tell people, look, if you're being harassed at work, you document it every time it happens and you write it down. So you've got like 20 stories about it and it's fully documented. And then you go confront the person at some point, but with at least 3 pieces of evidence. And you have some sense of what you tell them about what will happen if they don't stop. So you have to figure out, well, if they don't stop, what are you going to do about it? Leave? Not if you can't leave. So you have to be able to, what is it, wield a big stick and speak softly. But you see, that way, that's how you take your aggression, which is an absolutely necessary part of your psyche, and manifest it up into a sophisticated means of dealing with the world. You don't just suppress it. You say, well, I should be able to put up with it, or I wish I wasn't so angry, or something. It's like, forget that. That's all that'll happen is your blood pressure will stay high and you'll die of a heart attack, because anger, for example, is a very toxic emotion. And it does cause heart damage over time. It's the only emotion that we really know that's been linked to things like cardiovascular risk. And anger is toxic, because it's like you're driving a car, you're stepping on the gas and pushing on the brake at the same time, because anger tells you to run away and to attack at the same time, because you don't know what's going to happen. And so it really amps up the physiological demand on your body. And so if you including your heart and your musculature. So if you stay like that for like 10 years, you know, you're going to age 20 years. And that's a bad plan. So, you know, you take your underground emotions and you integrate them into a sophisticated reality.
Now, keep in mind what he just said. I'm coming right back to y'all. I want to play this one more time. It might not be one more time. I'm going to keep reinforcing this in y'all's face.
Problem, as long as you're there. But then they take you back to your normal environment and you see, like, Cocaine Joe, your friend, and as soon as you see him, up that thing comes and bang, you're back on the to hell with it track. And that's where you will end up too, if you reinforce that particular perspective long enough. So that's akin in a sense to this decision-making process, you know. If you take the low road, then that wins and it gets a little stronger. Because everything that wins neurologically gets a little stronger. It's like a Darwinian competition. So one rule is, don't practice what you don't want to become, because you really do become that. It builds itself right into your neural architecture.
Now let's merge these two together, okay? Let's merge these two together. Anger is toxic. It will destroy you. In addition to that, lots of anger is you not pushing forth your necessities with enough force to be respected. Rewind, press play. In relationships, you are consistently neglected and abandoned. Give me something else. Like, give me some stuff that genuinely bothers y'all. You're neglected, abandoned, not heard. Oh, no, seriously, give me some stuff. Unmute your mics. Give me some stuff that really bothers y'all. In relationships.
Taken for granted.
Okay.
Quality time.
That, I don't know why I didn't see quality time coming. Okay, take it for granted. Quality time. What else, Monica?
Not appreciated.
Not appreciated. So when you have relationship problems, you don't have problems. What you have, you don't have relationship problems, you have character problems, and your character bubbles up. The deficiency of your character bubbles up into the relationship, and it pushes itself as toxicity because you're angry that you have not pushed enough of your necessities with force enough not to be violent, but to be heard and draw that line. As he said, and as it said, you're not holding the big stick and using a soft voice. So now you're in a toxic relationship. Somebody said probably lack of passion. So now you're in this toxic relationship because all anger is toxic for the most part. You can't say all. Most anger is toxic. Anger for someone getting hung in a tree, that's probably not toxic. You have to figure out how are you going to fix these things. And since we're in the faith chapter, is why I keep bringing it up. Because I didn't want you all, so we're talking about faith, if you're just joining us. I don't want, y'all too fake. You're so practiced. Because you say, if I'd have said, who has faith? All of you would have raised your hands. But it's just not true. You don't have faith. Most of you have control issues masquerading as faith. Most of you. you literally have control issues, and the moment I don't do something you want in your timeline, you lose your mind. You become spoiled, or what else do y'all do? I have no idea what you do. It's so hard for me to go back and retrograde to that awareness. But this is what you do: your significant other, your cousin, your whatever it is. And then your low self-esteem starts masquerading as perfectionism. You're not a perfectionist. You have low self-esteem. There is no such thing as perfectionism, because someone who is self-confident doesn't need perfection. Don't worry, I got it all by myself. It's all good. I know when.
Come on, Rabin.
Okay. You are not a perfectionist. Perfectionism is a byproduct of low self-esteem, because you don't want to be let down, because you don't want to be corrected, because your mom told you in the third grade that this is how it works. Now she's dead and you're competing with your dead mother about your standard. And now you got these standards, and you masquerade these standards as how to treat you. No, you don't have high standards. You don't ever want to go back to what you used to be. Oh my goodness. Oh, see, I'm hitting now.
Never go back.
See?
You own it. You own it.
Your standards are not, you don't have faith in your standards. You have faith in, I can't start over. Oof. You have faith in, I've been hurt by a man or a woman before, so I'm not going to do that this time. So the next one will must jump here so I can weed out the riffraffs. That's not faith. Because should you actually apply faith, you won't need to have any of this stuff. You would live in the world in which perfection is irrelevant, standards are irrelevant, and you would just have bliss. Bliss rarely comes in the form of perfection. I want you to think about the most perfect day of your life. Just do me a favor, think about that. Think about the most perfect day of your life, whatever that has. Maybe you got more than one. Let's just take 10 seconds and trying to vibrate at that memory. While you think about the most perfect day of your life, think about it. Think about it right now. Let's take 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2-1. Hopefully you thought about it. Hopefully you have something, or maybe you can figure out something right now, okay? Like Peter Pan, think about your happiest thought so we can start flying, okay? And Tinkerbell is going to teach you all how to fly in a little bit. So let's think about this just for a second. That perfect day wasn't perfect. It was some stupid stuff that happened that day. It was hot outside. Somebody died that day. Something happened, but bliss needs not perfection. The law of attraction is perfect, so it doesn't need perfection to move. Arshia just said, my programmer just went out the window. Come walk with me. We're talking about faith. And I was trying to tell you, and I've been trying to tell you, that faith is something you must practice. Because if you're not, anything you practice gets stronger. You don't have faith because you're Christian. You're not even practicing Christianity. Most of you, you're not even practicing Islam. You just caught faith. And they'll tell you, well, you know, you got to catch faith. No, you don't. You got to practice faith. If you think you have faith, I want you to think about the one thing that you need most. Now see, play with me, because you don't see, always. You super woke people, you get a little bit difficult to communicate. Because if I say the wrong word, Monica, they'd be like, I don't need nothing, right? So just allow me to talk at the collective consciousness of the room, okay? Just for a moment. Think about the one thing you need. For some of you, it ain't money. Say, I don't need money. I don't need money. Because I was born without it. If they don't take money from me, I'm going to get it back. It has no effect over me. But some of y'all, take money from you, you're going to die. It's become your identity. You've been making $200,000 a year. Oh, Monica, come help me out real quick. I'll mute your mic, Monica.
You're right.
Okay, thank you so much, right? Thank you so much. I don't want them to think that I'm not just talking some sense up in here. So money's a big deal to you. Some of you, like, well, I don't need love. Of course you don't need love. That don't bother you. Because you've been loved your whole life. So I want you to pick what is unique to you, that one issue that follows you everywhere you go. For some of you, now, no matter how much you rise, no matter how much you ascend, it's that thorn in your side. Like Paul, pray thrice, is what King James Version says. Three times I said, Lord, take this from me. And God only said, nope, I ain't taking it from you. My grace is sufficient for you to keep it in. So I want you to think about that thorn in your side, whatever that is. Go ahead, Phil.
Have you ever heard the theory that thorn, that he was gay?
Have not. Yes, I have, actually. I have just a little bit of that. Yeah, just a little bit. It was in the back of my mind. Would explain the singleness, wouldn't it? All right? Would explain the singleness. Think about that thorn in your side, whatever it is. For some of you, it's abandonment. For some of you, it's marrying the wrong spouse. Uh-oh. That's most certainly my thorn. Okay? That's most certainly my thorn. I don't care about nothing else. I don't care about nothing else. But hook me up with the wrong person. I got to die. Just get me out of here. Lord, let me start over. Next lifetime, please. Let me just run this stuff. No, I'm good. I'm good. Let's get somebody else save the world. Come on, I'm done. I'm dead serious. Why? Why is that a big deal? Because Monica, in the trash can, I was left alone. They forgot me. Do you understand? I was all alone. So if you gonna be with me in the same house and I feel like I'm in a trash can, I got to go. I can't do it. Okay, you see, it's a psychological thing. I'm not telling you it's right. I'm telling you that trash can ain't gonna never, it's a thorn in my side, Monica. No matter how much I get, that trash can comes with me. And it's not something like, oh, you should do that, Tony. It's just the thorn in my side that keeps me ascending. We all got one. Put your thorn in perspective And I want to ask you a question. Right now, if I threaten that, how much faith would you have? See, it's easy to say I got faith about some stuff that don't bother you. You know, Phil stopped doing cocaine. He didn't have faith in cocaine. He had fun on cocaine. Not faith. It's two different F words. You're still saying that? Just stop. He had faith in that. But there's some people who can't stop because they have faith that they're only likable when they're on it. See, feels just likable. Some people have their whole social identity tied into it. You understand? So I want all of you to think, how much faith do you really have if I threaten the one thing that means the most to you? And you'll see how much faith you really have. You'll see. I just, and hear me well, I just in 2014 got the courage to say, I ain't got to be with nobody. Run that. See, it no longer has, I leave every last one of y'all. But it used to have power over me. 2014, I got rid of that. Took me a while. And it was actually tied into my mother. I didn't even know it was in my blind spot. It was in my blind spot. I actually had to fully forgive my mother. I didn't even know. I thought I forgave her, Monica, because I ain't have a problem with her. Nope. That ain't the truth. I did have a problem with it. I didn't even know I had a problem. You know what the problem was? The problem was she never came back. I didn't know that. I was like, no, I respect this, all good. But deep down, I was doing a ritual, and in the ritual, it's one of those rituals where you burn everything that's wrong with you. Somewhere in a ritual, in a round table, I was doing a ritual, and that was revealed to me. And I was like, dang, I don't like she didn't come back. Now think about it, because I could transpose that to the women that, or my relationship, right? I didn't like that she didn't come back. So I don't like that you threatening to leave. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Okay, Reverend.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to get somebody. See, I ain't talking about nobody else right now, Monica, but I'm about to swing this thing around and pull right on your driveway and roll over your toes. So I realized I need to let this go. So when I had a conversation with my mom in 2014, the last conversation I had, I totally forgave her, which also simultaneously made me forgive that aspect. I don't care who you are. I don't care if we've been together 19,000 years. I'll leave you. Sure will. I have no loyalty whatsoever to a toxic environment. See, don't confuse my light, my integrity, and my loyalty to you with the loyalty to the environment you create. You create an environment that is toxic, you lose me every time. Every time. I refuse. And I won't even have to, and it won't be violent when I leave. You won't even know. I'm not even gonna notify you. I'm gonna tell you over and over, I'm gonna say, Arshia, don't do that. Arshia, I don't like that. Arshia, I don't like that. All right, Arshia, I don't like that. 60 more times, all right, here's the deal. This, and this. I'm telling you, next time, you ain't gonna believe me. And all of a sudden, phew, I'm gone. And you're gonna be like, something different about you. It is. I told you what was different. You wasn't listening. Because I'm no longer held by anything in this world. I have no fear. That's not to say I'm strong. It's to say I'm at peace with the thorn in my side. Because I have faith that everything's perfect. And I just perfectly accept that you like toxic environments. And so I perfectly go to another one.
And allow you to be in your toxic environment. Because it's not where I stay.
You got to roll with that. You can't force me to do something. Let me tell you something. You can't. Monica, you can't. You can't force me to spend money. You can't. Y'all know this. Y'all been around me long enough. You can't. Like, hey, you should do this. No, I'm good. you should go here. No, I'm not. And if I decide to go, it's because I decided to go. Everybody here who's been here long enough knows this about me. Why? Because I'm alpha? No. Because I'm something? No. It's because I am at peace. And I have a lot of faith that no matter where I go, that's where I'm supposed to be. And if I got to go and lose everything and be publicly embarrassed that my relationship didn't work and have no clothes but the clothes on my back, damn it, I feel good about it. I ain't got no problem starting over. Go ahead, Phil.
Just for clarification, what does it take to create a toxic environment?
Now, that's a really good question. And I don't have a answer that would induce clarity, because toxic is obviously a view of the owner who is viewing. Now, there are some things that are universally of the same components of poison, nightshade, acid, whatever they put in, you know, all this poison stuff, right?
White sugar.
Oh, shucks. That might be the most poisonous. That might be the most poisonous, right? Literally. And so these things have the chemical component of poison, especially white sugar. Might be the most poisonous thing because they make it taste so good. And it's so violent to the body. If you like being 300 pounds, so be it. You just are in harmony with your pH balance being all out of whack. You like disease. And so I can't call that toxic, because if your reward system is messed up, some of you, and I've interacted with every person here, there are about four of you on the call right now, you're actually abusers. And you like toxic environments because the only time you're truly aroused is when you're abusing someone. Because you can't wait for the arouser, for the abuse and the tears, and that arouses you so much because you're waiting for the sexual act that comes behind that. And you need to go through that full cycle of abuse just to have this orgasmic feeling that doesn't last too long. You're literally driven by dopamine. You do dopamine aggregators. You enjoy marijuana, like not just enjoy, but enjoy. You enjoy alcohol. You enjoy loud environments. All these things are dopamine aggregators. These are things that activate that euphoric feeling that is not meant to last more than moments. And you know this if you're honest with yourself. And then what you do is you say, well, no, I could be inside. No, you can't. Because if you could be inside, you would enjoy that like you enjoy the dopamine aggregator. It doesn't matter what you like, because what you like is perfect. But I can't clearly say, well, yeah, this is toxic, because if you like your dopamine agitated in the manner in which you can feel it, God bless you. This is what you like. There are other folk who just have natural highs. They're more in touch with serotonin. They enjoy whatever. Someone's going to say, because I'm good at anticipating opposing viewpoints, well, can I do both? You're supposed to do both. It is the very reason why you have both. You're supposed to do both because both have their purpose. You need the adrenaline rush to get you past the eighth mile in the marathon, which they call runner's high. I have to go work out in something like an hour and a half, an hour. some point in there, Phil, I'm going to hurt myself and I'm going to need dopamine to keep going. Not to hurt yourself in a bad way. Like, that's the whole point of working out, to break down the muscles that are there. Faith must be practiced. No different than your marijuana habit. No different than loving your kids' habit. You don't just love your kids. You got to practice loving your kids. And don't sit up here and pretend just because you gave birth to them means you like them all the time. But we're so practiced. Oh my God, no. I am, you know, there's something about the chemical. And there's a mother's love. That's a poem. That's a Hallmark card. Okay, let me tell you something. Me as a mama, yes, 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 I'll make sure you get the recording, private messenger. Me as a mama, not me as a mama, okay, but me as a mama, just because I gave birth to you don't mean I like you talking back to me. Did I not make sense there? I thought that was pretty good. It was pretty simple, right? That was
that's a fact.
Okay, that was my feeling.
Live like that.
That was my feeling, Tempest impression, making the fewest words go the furthest. Right? Like, just because I gave birth to you, I mean, I like you talking back. This is what it is. So I have to practice liking you when you talk back. Y'all hear that? I'm gonna practice that. Yeah, I have to practice coexisting with you. I gotta practice harmony. I don't know what you're about to do. Barry, you might fit to let me down, but I got to practice just in case you let me down that when you do, we okay. No, you hit my trigger. You hurt my feelings. You messed me up. But I went to sleep so you could have peace because I have enough practice spirituality. I have enough spiritual practice to lose so there can be peace. Because I understand that all situations are temporary because I have faith that I'll be okay in the morning. All right, let's land this plane. Do me a favor, Donna, can you send Chiquita this recording right after?
Yes, sir.
Let's go over the self-confidence formula real quick. I would do you a disservice if I do not. It's literally in chapter 2, depending on what version you got. Principle 2 is what I should say. The first, because you cannot have confidence, you cannot have faith without confidence. And the people who have tons of confidence, who y'all call arrogant, no, they just have a lot of faith. Faith comes by losing. I know the Bible says faith comes by hearing, but faith comes by losing and then getting out that loss. Please believe, right?
The hearing in the loss.
I'm trying to tell you.
Because if you don't understand why you lost and what you're supposed to do after you lose, you ain't heard nothing.
You understand? Like, I need y'all to get without a doubt that faith comes by losing. Because you got to get past those losses to know that you're strong enough to do so next time. Go ahead, Phil.
Being perfect is being right. Being your best is willing to be wrong.
It is. It is. And may we all be willing to be wrong. The real quick, I know I have the ability to achieve the objective that my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand myself persistent, continuous action towards obtaining it. Number 2, I realize my dominant thoughts and my mind will eventually reproduce themselves physically, outwardly. Number 3, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion and any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression of itself outwardly. Number 4, oh, hold on. There we go. Number 4, I have clearly written down description of my definite chief aim in life. I clearly wrote it down. And number five, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless it's built upon truth and justice. Y'all, go to chapter, principle two, and look up that self-confidence formula. Let's close this out with some final thoughts. This is simple. Well, Antonio, I disagree. That's because you practice disagreeing. It's that simple. That's what you do. Of course you disagree, Antonio. You always disagree. You're a contrarian. But I disagree, Antonio. Yeah, you do. I expect you to disagree. You don't like me anyway, Antonio. You came here to disagree. You literally logged into this class, Antonio, to disagree with Antonio. Of course you did. That's why you're here. You ain't had nothing to do. So what you really wanted to do was disagree with me. So you can continue to use me, Antonio, as a source of why you're not getting what you want in your life. I can't lose weight because you practice not losing weight. Man, I can't, Tim said this has been the best class. I can't find a wife because you practice not finding a wife. Oh yeah, I didn't like that one. Oh, see, I'm meddling. If Grace were here, she would have said, watch it, Reverend. I'm meddling, right? That's, I'm meddling again. This is simple. You have what you have practiced. Maybe it's time for you to start practicing faith. Here's what I know. I know that it dawned on me recently, like 6 months ago. It dawned on me. I said, man, this plan should have worked. I should have had this, and this. And it dawned on me. Oh, I have a blind spot somewhere about creating $1 million salaries. Somewhere in there, there's a blind spot. And so, six months ago, I went on a journey. Where the hell is this blind spot? Where are you? Teach me what you telling me, blind spot. I want to know. Right now, you tell me where you at. And of course, that's not how it worked. You said that's just literally not how it worked. Go ahead.
Let me shine a light on you.
That's it. All right, think about it. So I eventually found it. I do know exactly what it is now because it came like a mighty rushing wind. Here's what I know. I know that no matter how ascended you may be, you still have to practice what is necessary. And if you don't have what you desire for the next level, one or two things are possible. They're the only two things that are possible. Thing number one, because it's yours if you want it. There's only one or two things. Thing number one, you're practicing the vibration that doesn't draw that in. Simple as that. Thing number two, you've already drawn it in. Just sit down and wait. It's coming. That's it. And your job, Monica, or Antonio in this case, as I've been talking about me, is not to panic when you have to wait. Right now, I solved my little blind spot problem 6 months ago. Now I'm just waiting. That's it. But it was the hardest battle I ever had to face. And I was embarrassed the whole time. Go ahead, Phil.
But also be at the vibrational level that when it shows up, you'll recognize it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, really good. I'm so glad you said that because I would have left it completely out, but that's 100%. So when it shows up, and it will, Monica, it won't. Now, it won't. Obviously, it won't look the way you want it to look. It won't. I mean, at least in my experience, I never got blessed in a way I thought I was going to get blessed. Not me, but you know, that's me. Y'all probably get it exactly the way you write it on your affirmation board. Not me. It comes.
Jesus did.
Jesus did. Jesus did. Jesus did. For me, I always get the essence of what I ask for plus more than what I ask for. But I never get the way I thought it was coming. Right? I never did. Never get the way I thought it was coming. Never. Never do. Lord, give me $1 million. Okay. So here's $1 million of software. Oh. Okay. Well, that actually works. I'm thinking $1 million. What was I going to do with $1 million? Buy $1 million of software. You know, but that's the finiteness of Antonio. It's me. Don't be me, be you. You can get it exactly the way you want it. For me, I don't know, I'm just stubborn. So even my law of attraction is stubborn with the way it comes through. And that's okay, because it serves me. Last words. Are you, or last words, that is in the form of a question. Are you practicing faith or practicing destruction? Because you're only ever doing one or the other. You're only ever building an empire or destroying one. Because the two roads don't go in the same direction. Phil?
Another way to say destruction is doubt.
Yep. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Are you practicing faith or practicing doubt? You're only ever doing one, not both. Are you practicing faith, practicing destruction? And I promise you, as we end, they don't exist on the same road. You're going to leave this call, and your routine is going to be on the road of prosperity, faith, on the road of destruction, doubt. You may need to change your routine. You may need to change your spouse, for God's sake. I don't know what you need to change, but whatever you need to change, don't try to go in and change that thing. Just have faith that you don't need to. When you get to that level, you won't have to alter anything in your life. You just create new things that you want to experience. Last words on you, Phil.
Well, like I said earlier, we all practice faith every day. And when we get in our cars and drive down the road, we have faith that that person coming towards us is going to stay in their lane. Now, if we doubted that person was going to stay in their lane, we'd never get in our car to drive.
Very good. Absolutely. Absolutely. I posted those two Jordan Peterson links in the chat for you. I'm sure you'll be seeing Jordan Peterson a lot more, because now I think you're ready for such levels of philosophies. Other than that, my friends, practice whatever serves you. If destruction serves you, practice it. It doesn't serve me. May all of us do only what serves us and own what serves us. I said it before, I'll end it with these very last words. God does not care what you choose, Monica. God just cares that you own whatever you chose. Antonio T. Smith Jr., you can't plant better. You can dominate. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow for the morning meeting. All right, everybody. Y'all have a good one.
Love you.
Thank you.
Love
good you night. More.
Very welcome.
Love you.
Love, love, love. Love you. Love, love. Love.